अव्यक्तोऽयमचिन्त्योऽयम् अविकार्योऽयमुच्यते तस्मादेवं विदित्वैनं नानुशोचितुमर्हसि। 2.25 भगवद्गीता। अव्यक्तोऽयम् अयम् द सोल् विच् इस् बीङ्ग् रेफर्ड् टु थ्रू औट् दिस् सेक्षन् Avyaktoyam, it is unmanifest. Achintyoyam, it is inconceivable. So avyakta refers that to the it not being manifest to senses. Achintya refers to it not being conceivable even by the mind. Avikaryoyam uchyate. Avikaryo, it does not undergo any transformations. Tasmad evam viditvainam, knowing it to be like this. Evam viditvainam nanu shochitum arhasi. And it is worthy of you not to lament. Nanu shochitum. It behooves you not to lament, O Arjuna. Evam viditvainam, knowing this. So, we'll see this theme of nanu shochitum arhasi coming again and again in the next 6-7 verses. So, the purpose of this section is to remove Arjuna's grief with the solace provided by spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the eternality of the soul. Here, Krishna continues talking about the knowledge of the soul by talking about three features: avyakta, achintya, and avikarya. So, avyakta, the soul is unmanifest to the senses. The soul is a spiritual particle. At the highest level, the soul is a person, but presently, the soul is in the form of particle of consciousness. And that is not perceivable to the gross senses. Spirit by definition is non-material and is not perceivable by the material senses. The material senses are not the right apparatus for perceiving the soul, just as the eyes are not the right apparatus for hearing the sound, or the ears are not the right apparatus for tasting food. So, every observation, to observe any particular thing, we need a particular apparatus. So without that apparatus, we cannot observe. So avyakta. So it says, unmanifest to the senses. Not only is unmanifest to the senses, it is also achintyoyam. It is not conceivable to the mind either. Now, this may raise the question that, okay, if the soul is not conceivable, then what is the point in thinking about it? Anyway, it is not conceivable. So, why think about it? No, there are two different perspectives to this, or two different directions of responding to this question. First is that it is not conceivable fully, precisely by our mind. But with scriptural revelation, it can be understood to a significant extent. No. We can infer the characteristics of the soul by observation or analysis, introspection. We can perceive that the soul must be having consciousness, because consciousness does not come from dead matter, it must be coming from the soul. So, that way we can perceive some qualities of the soul, but the self-existence of the soul cannot be perceived by us. So, the consciousness of the soul, when it is expressed through the body, that is perceivable to us. But the original consciousness of the soul, which is called as chit, sat chit ananda chit, the original consciousness of the soul, that is not perceivable to us, because we are at the material level of consciousness, and we cannot at our current level of perception, level of consciousness, rise above the material level. So whether it is perceiving with our senses or conceiving with our mind, we are limited by our current level of consciousness. So the soul is achintya. That means that with our mind we cannot conceive of it, but still with scripture we can understand it. And with purification and realization, we can actually say, Pashyanti Jnana Chakshushaha. Krishna talks about this in 15.10 and 11. He says, we can see with the eyes of knowledge. And then in 15.11, he says, Tanto Yogi Nishchainam Pashyanti Atmanya Vastitam. So, we see with the eyes of knowledge and then we practice. Atmanya Vastitam, start living at the level of the soul, then Pashyanti, we will be able to see the soul also at that time. Yogi Nishchainam, the yogis who situate themselves on the in spiritual life, in the life of the soul, will gradually by purification and elevation of consciousness see it. But that is at a purified level. At our level we can't see it. It's achintya. But so then the so still with scripture we can understand it. So with jnana chakshusha, with jnana, not from our own inference, but jnana coming from scripture. Of course there are people like Socrates who did understand the soul, and at least they understood it in terms of the soul being the locus of their identity, and that made Socrates fearless in the face of death. But he was an exceptionally insightful person, and even at his time not many people understood the soul, even among his students. And further, his knowledge of the soul was partial, in the sense that he couldn't connect the soul to the supreme soul. So to understand the soul properly is not possible. But to understand the soul enough by which we can pursue the path for realizing the soul, that is possible by our logical inference, and all the more so by scriptural guidance, scriptural revelation. And if the soul is so difficult to perceive, so difficult to conceive, then what is the point of trying to think about it, trying to understand it, trying to realize it? That the point is that the soul is who we are. Without understanding ourselves, how can we make ourselves happy? So we need to realize our spiritual identity, and by realizing our spiritual identity we relish spiritual happiness, because the happiness, ananda, is a part of our spiritual makeup as Satchit Ananda, as spiritual beings. So when we realize that as souls we are eternal and we are blissful, at least we understand it intellectually, then that inspires us to pursue that course, pursue the path of realizing the soul. But we can't realize the soul immediately, and patience on the path of comprehending the soul and realizing it is recommended, is enjoined, is implicit in this scriptural description, that it is achintya. So why do we need to do chintan on the soul when it is achintya? Why do we need to contemplate the soul if it is inconceivable? Because that is the pathway to real happiness. The inconceivability of the soul is not meant to make us disheartened in the spiritual path, but rather it should make us enlightened with a sense of adventure and mystery. Oh, there is something so wonderful. You know, I thought that I was a temporary body, destined to die, but now I understand that I am an eternal soul, destined for eternal love and eternal happiness. How wonderful! I want to realize it. So the achintyatva of the soul can infuse our spiritual quest, not with pessimism, but with dynamism, with excitement, with zeal. And that way we can move onwards on the path of realizing the soul. And avikaryo yam avikarya, that means vikar is transformation. So avikarya or yam means the soul does not undergo transformations. Matter undergoes changes. Everything that is material that undergoes six change that undergoes changes.
If we see
that there is matter itself, which is created, which is maintained, and which exists and which is destroyed. Now, when there is ensouled matter, that means matter which contains a soul within it, then that behaves slightly differently. So, unconscious matter basically is created, exists and is destroyed. But conscious matter, actually it is not matter that is conscious. It is the soul that is exploring its consciousness to the matter. So such a consciousness, such a matter, such a body, what happens to it? Actually it undergoes not three changes but six changes. It is created, it grows. When a table is created, a table does not grow. But when a mother and a father create a child, the child grows. It grows, it maintains itself, and so if a bar is cut off, the bar does not clot or heal itself. But if a hand is cut, it clots and heals itself. There is a mechanism for self-maintenance. Then there is reproduction. A he-robo and a he-robo do not produce a baby robo. But a male and a female human being produce children. Then there is deterioration. And then there is destruction. So, when the soul is present in some matter, that matter undergoes additional changes, that is, it grows, it maintains itself, and it reproduces. But still, these changes which the soul causes to happen in matter, these changes don't happen in the soul. The soul is avikarya, the soul is unchanging. So, unchanging with respect to the context of Arjuna here means that the souls of Bhishma and Drona will not be destroyed, they will not even be affected, the soul will remain the same. And they will get a next destination, a next body, and they will continue on like that. So, tasmadevam viditvayam, O Arjuna, by understanding this, invisibility, incomprehensibility and unchangeability of this, immutability of the soul. So, invisibility is avyaktoyam, inconceivability is achintyoyam and immutability is avikaryoyam. By understanding this about the soul, therefore Arjuna tasmashinanushochitam, do not lament, because the real person is not affected by any of the changes for which you are lamenting. So actually there is nothing worth lamentation. Therefore Arjuna, do not lament. Thank you.